This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
And Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
It is good to be back in your company once again. This is The Score with me, Michael Clark. We are Northern Ireland's number one programme for Irish League news, views and debate. On the show this week, three special guests to keep you entertained. We hear from Cliftonville's Johnny Addis. They are looking a lot meaner in defence, starting to string together not just wins, but clean sheets. So vital if they are to replicate last season's form. How long can they keep it up for? Time will tell, but we'll hear from Johnny Addis shortly. We will also be talking to the head coach of Dungannon Swifts. Yes, he's number two to Dean Shields, and they got win number two of their domestic campaign. Very, very important for them to do that if they are to continue their fight for survival. Dungannon Swifts' Tony Gorman is on the programme, and we will be hearing from a man who's back out of retirement. I couldn't quite believe it last weekend. I'm sure you couldn't either. And to be fair, I think he might have been nearly as surprised as the rest of us that it was happening. We thought the Irish Cup final was the perfect send-off for Declan Cadell. He's back playing for the Hatchet Men. Needs must. They are hit with an injury crisis. He hit Jamie Mulgrew with some tackle. He is most certainly back in the league. Crusaders play Glentoran this weekend. We'll hear from Mr. Cadell in due course on this week's programme. All that and more right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Hello, welcome along to the programme, and it's a gleeful start to the show for me this week in particular, because like a lot of people, this time of year you get your Spotify Wrapped and that shows you your listening habits, but you might not be aware of this. When you create stuff, you also get told how well you're performing on their platform in terms of how many people are listening to you and all that sort of thing. And we have been told 74% increase in the amount of hours people are listening to this podcast, this programme. 68% increase in our listenership. Streaming is up. Our followers are up. The numbers are great. And it actually means that we, every week we do this radio programme, we put it out as a podcast afterwards, and the podcast itself is in the top 10% podcasts shared globally, which I can't even get my head around. A programme about the Irish League, which is a brilliant league that we love and I love talking about, and I love coming here every week and chatting to you and chatting to our guests and giving you a sense and a feeling as to what's happening across the country, amongst the clubs, the players, the sentiments, the stories, all of that. The idea that it could be among the top 10% on that platform is mind-boggling. I can't really even comprehend it. We're also in the top 10% most followed. They're different things, but we tick both boxes. So that's tremendous. That is a typical Northern Ireland story in itself, punching above our weight. And we think to all the weeks where, like anybody in any line of work, you think, I have to go do this today, because I really do love doing it. But there are weeks where you can't be bothered and you do it anyway. You know what it's like. And then you see the rewards from it, which we can't always have in life, but we're having now. And I mean, it's a nice way to be ending 2022, a few weeks away from that, and already making me think, how can we make it better? And if you've ideas on that, please let me know. But the thing that I think thrilled me as much as anything, and I don't want to take up too much time today doing this because I want to get into our guests, but it gives us a flavour of our listeners' personalities, right? And they kind of describe you and your habits, how scary a thought. And it says your listeners are super fans. When their favourite podcast releases a new episode, they are among the first to know. They go above and beyond to show their support. So all I have to say, before we go anywhere, before we talk to anyone, I want to say thank you. because we don't get to be in the top 10%, which is mad. Think of how many people you know that have podcasts in the world, big organisations that pump thousands, if not more, into it. And sitting in a local radio station, talking about the league that's our bread and butter, that we all love and we go to and support, and maybe people further afield are tapping into it and wanting to, you know, still feel a part of that from wherever they are. The idea that we've got to this point is very special. So who knows how much bigger that could go, but we've all kind of come together to make it happen. So fair play, everybody, and thank you so much. Now, I really don't want to be reaching over my shoulder and patting myself on the back. That is absolutely not what this is about, and I'd be mortified if anybody said that. There are a full host of fixtures taking place this weekend in the top flight. Glenavon Larne is the Friday night action at Mournview. I will be there later on. I am looking forward to it. There are four games on Saturday. Cliftonville are away to Ballymena United. We'll be talking to Johnny Addis in just a moment. Coleraine play Dungannon Swifts. We'll be hearing from Tony Gorman from the Swifts. Crusaders have the returning Declan Cadell in their ranks. He'll be on the show a little later on. They're at home against Glentoran, and that is a cracking match. And the other Saturday game, all the Saturday matches, 3 o'clock kickoffs, Linfield versus Carrick Rangers at Windsor Park, the pitch that Mr. Healy is not pleased with, and I think we can all see why. And there is one Sunday game. Portadown are away to Newry City. That is a crucial game towards the bottom of the table. Portadown still at this stage in the season without a win to their name, which is a grim reading. 17 played, 0 wins, 1 draw, a solitary and pretty miserable point. They are 14 behind Newry City. They desperately, desperately need to get a win. Is this the weekend it happens for them? Newry naturally will be hoping not. But anyway, it is time to get in to our very first guest of the programme.
The Score with Michael Clark.
And it's a welcome return to a big fan favourite at Cliftonville, Johnny Addis. Johnny, good to have you on the show again.
Cheers, Michael. Thanks for having me.
It's been a good November for Cliftonville, an unbeaten month, winning 4 and drawing 2. What's it been like to play in?
Yeah, we're happy with the run of recent results. Obviously, at the start of the month, we threw away 2 points really against Glenavon, in the nature of how the game finished that day, conceding 2 late goals. And we're really pleased, I suppose, with how we've responded then. Picking up a point away at Linfield, which is never a bad result, and then winning the next 3 games, all without conceding a goal in the last 4. So, yeah, happy with those results, really, and something sort of to build on now in terms of adding to that and hopefully adding to the performances as well.
That was a key component of last season, wasn't it? How good the defensive unit was. It's been a little harder, I think, you know, maybe certainly towards the earlier stages of the season. So clean sheets and back-to-back clean sheets in your last 4, as you've outlined, must make you as a defender very pleased.
Yeah, it's something we sort of spoke about, you know, after the initial sort of block of games, that we had conceded too many goals. I mean, that was fairly obvious when you look at the at that point in the season. The top teams, Larne and Glentoran, who were leading the way at that stage, were conceding very, very little goals. So it's no, you know, surprise. If you look at any league campaign, you know, normally the team that concedes the least goals goes on to win the league. So we really felt like that was an area we needed to improve in. And as you say, last year we were pretty solid in that area. So since then we've sort of thankfully began to get things right in that sense, and hopefully now we can build on it. Probably, to be fair, a few changes here and there probably hasn't helped over the course of the season, with Levi being injured and then me and Luke Turner's had to play left back, and a few changes in different positions. But we'll probably have I've had a more settled back four certainly in the last month or so, which is has helped. And we've also got people coming back in the near future too, which will help competition for places.
And even compared to last season, different goalkeeper behind you and all these things, and people getting used to playing with one another can make such a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's another thing, or just when you say it, sort of I forgot to mention really, is the change of goalkeeper. And as you've alluded to, that takes time to settle and for players to get used to each other. And even at the start of the season, obviously Big Finn Tally started in nets at the start of the season, and then Nathan came in and has played a significant number of games since. So that's probably another factor in sort of the inconsistency. But we don't really want to be making excuses either. We've got players there who are more than capable of defending and more than capable of keeping clean sheets, and thankfully we've started to do that in recent weeks.
You've played with plenty of goalkeepers throughout your career. Do you like the loud ones? I don't know if there's many quiet ones, but do you like them to shout and tell you where to be and what to do, or do you think you've kind of, you know, you do that yourself anyway?
No, I think every defender appreciates a keeper who's vocal and, you know, likes to communicate. I think first and foremost as a defender, it's reassuring when you hear a voice behind you who has that confidence and presence about them. And you build that trust when you know someone's going to come and call for something or claim a high ball that comes into the box or whatever. So yeah, it definitely helps as a defender. It's something you'd always be looking for in a keeper. And Nathan, who's been in at the minute for us, definitely has that confidence about him where he's prepared to come and claim things. And that's been reassuring for us as a defensive unit.
And now that you've got a little run together, you'll be desperate to try and keep it. And you know, it makes life easier, doesn't it, for the attacking players, knowing, well, if we're not conceding goals, we don't need to try and score as many.
Yeah, I think that's it. The players up at the top end of the pitch have been scoring goals right throughout the season so far, so we can't be critical of them. But too often this season, we find ourselves needing to score two or three goals to win a game. And as you say, now we're in a position where maybe one is enough or has been enough in the most recent game, which is pleasing. Performance wise, we probably haven't really set the world alight, to be honest. We've probably been fairly average in terms of how we've played in a lot of games, but we've been grinding out results, and that's what good teams do and have to do over the course of the season. You can't expect to be high flying performing at the top of your game every week, but we've got match winners in our team who can pull us out of a hole and get us results maybe on days where we're not at our best.
And to me it's interesting that in some ways you've somehow been able to fly under the radar. You maybe don't necessarily always feel that in terms of there's an expectation and a pressure that comes with, you know, having a very vocal and a strong home support. But in terms of, I think a lot of media attention has been on Glentoran and Larne's start of the season, and Cliftonville haven't quite got as many column inches, which, you know, maybe is a nice thing when you're a player, you can just focus on your job.
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't think you really, as a player, you read into that too much, to be honest. You know, I think that's probably reflective of how well Larne and Glentoran started the season. You know, as I said earlier, both teams were and are still flying in the league, not conceding very many goals. Sort of looked unbeatable, really, at times this season, and have blown teams away in games as well. So, that focus being on those two teams has been justified in how they've played, and we're happy enough to just keep going under the radar and playing and hopefully picking off wins as many as possible and every week. And last year we got a lot of plaudits, you know, probably having not been expected to be so high up the table, and that's just probably what happens sometimes whenever you're expected to do better. You don't maybe get the press that other teams do, but that's football. That's just how it works.
And in terms of last season, I mean, I don't know how many times it's been said now, you lost count, you're probably sick of thinking about it, but, you know, it was just a point. Does it create a bit of a sense of, well, if we can go that close one year, we have to be able to try and do it again?
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. You know, I think last year, I don't know too many people who would have expected us to end up where we ended up, never mind being within a point and taking it to the last day. So, but from our own perspective, we knew the capability that we had and the players, the talent that was in the changing room. So I think we'll be better for the experience. We were coming into this season knowing that there were no guarantees that, and there are still no guarantees that you're going to be anywhere near it because of the quality that's around the league. But it's certainly something that I think long-term players, individually anyway, will be better for the experience that we had last year, and hopefully we can use it and stay in the mix this year towards the business end of the season.
How hard is it just to focus on your own job? Because, you know, Larne play Glenavon, it's the Friday night game. Will you be watching that and fingers and toes crossed for the Lurgan Blues, or do you try and stay away from all of that?
I think a lot of players, I'm sure, certainly in our team anyway and around the league, I'm sure, watch most of the games. It's good to have the games on streamed or on the TV or whatever. So it's created an interest in the league, and it's certainly probably help from a player's interest point of view as well. So, no, I'll not be hiding away from the TV on a Friday night. I'd be more than happy to sit and watch a game. But there's certainly not be any fingers crossed or toes crossed at this stage of the season. You know, I haven't even hit Christmas yet, so there's a long, long way to go. And even in the last few weeks, you know, I think we've seen how quickly things can change with a few good results or a few bad results. And, you know, people were naive enough to really feel out only a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden, you know, they're really not that far behind in the grand scheme of things, with not even really a third of the season played, probably just about, or just over a third maybe. So yeah, not definitely something that, you know, you'd be watching to keep an eye on other teams' results, of course. You'd be lying if you said otherwise, but certainly at this stage, there's, you know, you wouldn't be reading too much into things at this stage of the season.
You don't strike me, Johnny, as the kind of guy that when, you know, the Sky cameras were rolling in the town a couple of weeks ago was out, you know, making sure his hair was, you know, nicely cut and getting himself a new pair of boots. But I would imagine one or two of your teammates might have been.
There probably are a few boys there, to be fair now. As you alluded to there, I certainly wouldn't be one. Joe Gormley's probably one that brings the black hair dye out closer to the cameras come out, because the greys are starting to show, sadly, for him. But I would say there's a few boys in there, definitely, who like to get down to a barber's on a Friday afternoon if the cameras are coming to town.
It probably makes it better then for their Instagram posts afterwards, especially when, in that case, obviously the game went well. And, you know, joking aside from all of that, and I'm sure Joe will be delighted that you're revealing his secrets here, but that Glentoran game was a massive one in many ways, wasn't it, because of how well they've been doing. A bit of a marker laid down by your team in terms of closing the gap and getting yourself right back in the mix of things. I mean, as things stand, you've played a game more than them, you've got a point more than them, and there's plenty of room for chopping and changing, but you can't give up room to any team, so going to the Oval and getting a win, and it felt very typical that it was a Ryan Curran goal, because he seems to always do well against Glentoran, or at least lately. But that seemed to me like an important result in the current context of the league.
Yeah, I think it did. Really was an important result for ourselves more than anything else. You know, we've had a few results this season that have been really disappointing against the top six teams. You know, even Coley in the first day of the season, we really didn't do ourselves justice. We went to Larne and got chinned 4-0. And even going to Windsor Park a couple of weeks ago, you know, whilst, as I said earlier, 0-0 at Windsor's really never a bad result. We knew at the time they were probably vulnerable and felt we could have maybe kicked on that night and got the 3 points. So I think for our own sake, more than anything else, we needed a result against, you know, one of your rivals, I suppose, and to go to the Oval and get a result against the team who, as I said earlier, have been very, very good this year, and a lot of teams have found it difficult there. I think that was their maybe first drop points, actually, at the Oval. So to go there and get a result was brilliant for us, and probably the lift that we needed, and maybe a reminder to the other teams, I suppose, that we're still here, and we've still got the quality throughout the squad. And as you said about Ryan, you know, the goal was, I said in a paper interview after, it was only whenever I sort of walked it back and realised how good the finish was. The fact that he had sort of to make up 5 or 6 yards and then strike it on his left side, which wouldn't be his preferred side. But he's a top, top player who I don't think gets the recognition he deserves. I think he's extremely underrated. And is a really, really intelligent footballer who's key to any success that we've had, certainly in my time there.
Great form at the moment, 2-4 goals in his last 3 matches, including the one we've just discussed. So that speaks volumes for where he's at the moment and how good he's feeling in himself. This is a massive month. December always is. It's when people start to really form opinions of who the serious teams are, particularly, you know, into the new year and seeing where the table lies then. And it's a month full of difficult matches, as if there's easy ones, but you know what I mean. You start away to Ballymena, and I'll ask your thoughts on that because it's the immediate match in a moment. But after that, you've Corrine, Portadown, Glentoran, and Crusaders, and the Boxing Day Derby. It's a invertible feast at Christmas time, as it often is. That's a tricky month by the looks of it, Johnny.
Yeah, it definitely is. And we've sort of set ourselves targets within house, really, of how we want to approach blocks of games. And it's something that we did last year as well and seemed to work really well for us. But I think within those block of games, you don't really look too far past your next opponent. And that's what's brought us, you know, success so far this season, I suppose, with the games that we've won, and respecting the opposition that you face and not getting too caught up with what's to come further down the line, because you know, there's too many good teams in the league to get complacent going into certain games. So we'll approach Saturday in that manner and not get too caught up with the festive fixtures, but ultimately knowing that it is a key period with a lot of games, it's a busy schedule, so it can often be where maybe teams drop off or really pick up. And I suppose in recent years, maybe where the league has sort of split up a wee bit more, it's obviously very tight at the minute. So, yeah, we know it's an important period, but we'll just do what we always do and approach each game as it comes.
Yeah, the Coleraine game, of course, being a semi-final, Bet McLean Cup. How much would it mean to get back to the final again?
Yeah, it would mean a lot. Obviously, you know, we are delighted to be in the semi-final at this stage, and last year was a real give us something to look forward to, getting in the final. You know, obviously the semi-finals in December, and last year's final was in March, and I think this year's similar, so it gives you an incentive to sort of to keep driving as well as having your league game. So yeah, it would mean a lot, where, you know, you're obviously involved in football, you want to be winning the win things. So just because we were there and had done it last year, not to say we've taken our eye off the ball. We've put out strong teams in the League Cup this year, and that's why we're in the semi-finals. And Coleraine will be a tough task, even though it's at home, which obviously is a preferable draw for us. That'll be a really difficult game, and one that we'll look to after Saturday, I suppose.
And on Saturday, and just finally, Ballymena United. Things looking a bit brighter for them lately, starting to pull a few results together, your old team. It had been a tricky start to the season for them, but a good win against Carrick Rangers, and before that, yes, defeat to Linfield, but no shame there. Wins against Crusaders and Newry City sort of in the mix across the month of November. So they're starting to look a bit closer like their old selves. I know there's still a bit of discontent maybe there between supporters. They don't quite feel that they've completely got themselves back on track, but there's signs of life at least.
Yeah, definitely. It's I don't know ever going to Ballymena, either as a Cliftonville player or in the past at Glentoran, ever getting an easy game at Ballymena. So there'll be no difference on Saturday. We fully expect a battle and a physical challenge as well. They've got a lot of big physical players that are very, very dangerous from set pieces. So we'll have to be on our guard in that regard. But as you say, they've sort of picked up recently and got a few results. The game on Sky against Crusaders at Seaview was a super result and a really good, solid performance from them that night. That'll be a challenge. And, you know, we went down there last year and I think picked up 1 point out of six. So we're under no illusions as to how difficult it's going to be on Saturday, and they've got quality players right throughout their team. So it's really no surprise to me anyway that they've picked up points in recent weeks and that things have started to turn for Ballymena, and they'll not be too far away in terms of challenging for top six and playoff spots and all that kind of thing come the end of the season.
I didn't know Kim Nelson had that sort of strike on him. It was a great goal against Crusaders.
I don't think he knew himself. Judging by that interview he done after, he was as surprised as anyone else. But no, it was a great strike that night to win it. And I think, to be fair, that night, over the course of the game, they deserved it. They had plenty of chances that evening and were very, very solid defensively. So, it was a goal where they won in any game, I suppose. But I think it was well earned that night that they got a result.
And tell me this, when you're obviously going up against David Jeffrey, do you get the cuddle and the kiss treatment, or does that all wait until after the match?
Don't know. I can't actually remember whether I got the call and the kiss last year. Depends, I suppose, if you bump into him in the tunnel beforehand. But Big Davey always loves offering a hug and a kiss, so I'm sure I'll get one at some stage, whether it's before or after.
Very good. Well, Johnny, great to have you on the Score, and well, best of luck for the Christmas period. Always exciting to see what goes on now. A few upsets along the way, potentially, in the next few fixtures, but we'll keep our eyes on those. Thanks for coming on to the programme.
Cheers, Michael. Thanks. All the best.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, we all got a bit of a surprise last weekend, didn't we? Because we thought we knew something. We saw a team sheet and we started wondering, is Declan Cadell really playing? That's what it said on paper. And I myself, to be honest, wasn't quite sure. So I went and asked a few people and I was told, yes, that is Declan Cadell out of retirement on the bench. And he ended up coming on and had a brilliant match at Windsor Park too. And that was all after we thought he had retired. After the Irish Cup final, it would have been a brilliant way to bow out. But he's on the programme to tell us all about his return. It's a bit Paul Scholes-esque, isn't it? Declan, how are you?
Yes, all good, Michael. Nice to be on.
It's great to be talking to you again. And, you know, as you can tell by the introduction, I didn't think we'd be talking to you again as still an Irish League player. A Crusaders great, by all accounts. You know, you... Before that match, it was 510 appearances for Crusaders, a nice round number. It's 511 and counting now.
I'm counting. We'll see how long that goes on for, to be fair.
What was, you know, the thought process here? Talk us through, you know, what the last few weeks have been like for you, because, you know, as I say, you know, even you had pretty much thought you were retired, but that's not the case anymore.
No, to be fair, Michael, obviously, I made the decision at the end of last season to retire, with my new role as academy director at the football club. And it was more to do with, not that I couldn't play anymore, but it was more time constraint. I knew it was a busy job and I wouldn't have the time probably to delve into both jobs as well as I would have liked. I'm one, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right and devote my time completely to that. And that's why I made that decision. Now, at the time, obviously, Stephen tried to get me to stay on, even for another year or two. And they made the decision, obviously, to step away. And it was a case at the time, he says, well, listen, just as long as you're signed, in case of emergencies, if I get an injury crisis and things like that, and I just kind of wiped it off and just went, yeah, no worries, because I never expected it to kind of happen. It was more to keep the manager happy. And there you go, 3-4 months into the season, and obviously the injuries were piling up, and obviously he's giving me a shout again. So at the end of the day, I wouldn't see Stephen stuck, and I wouldn't see the club stuck, and he knows I'm here to help out whenever I can.
He's crafty, isn't he? I mean, in the back of his head somewhere, he knew he would need you.
Yeah, no, I think he had a conversation at the time with me, and I think he'd done the same thing when he retired and kind of went into management. And it's always nice to probably have that something up your sleeve in case of emergencies. Now, at the time, when you look at our squad, we have a heavy squad, you know what I mean? I think we've 24, 25 players maybe in the first team squad. And as I said at the time, I went, yeah, that's fine, Gafford, you know what I mean? No issues there, because I never ever expected to be called upon.
Mm-hmm.
But that's football, you know what I mean? And I think the last, obviously, the big ones were Ben Kennedy, obviously, being out for most of the season, probably our most creative and best player. And then you lose Paul Heatley for 6-7 games, and from then it's kind of probably snowballed a bit for the club. And they're just picking up injury after injury. So it was a case of probably a couple of weeks ago, probably 2 weeks ago, he called me to say when I was working down at Seaview and just asked me to join in a few sessions just in case. Maybe try to get a reserve game in and keep myself ticking over, because he probably knew himself if he gets another one or two, he might need me. And within that probably 5-day window, he received another one or two injuries. And then I got the phone call.
And the phone call came when?
Phone call came on the day before the Limfield game on the Friday. So,
wow.
So I'd probably two sessions under my belt. So that I'd won before, and now naturally I kind of do my own wee bit, and obviously I'm coaching every day within the club. But I think after retirement, I was obviously playing for 15 years and playing as many minutes as I could and playing through injuries, which I probably shouldn't have done. The last 6 months for me were kind of like a bit rest up and enjoy my time with my family. So I hadn't probably been doing as much as I would have liked to be doing to come on and play against Limfield at Windsor. So
that is remarkable. So there's, what, 6 months there between winning the Irish Cup, all the celebrations and fanfare that comes with that, and then stepping out onto the pitch again at Windsor Park as a, you know, as a, in case of emergency, break glass type scenario here. Everyone's gone down wounded, and here comes the hero, basically, to save the day. What were you thinking when, that first half was bizarre. It wasn't a great game of football. I think anyone that watched it would probably hold their hands up and say that, particularly the first half where Linfield lost Stephen Fallon to injury, Crusaders lost Robbie Weir and Daniel Larmour during the match. They lost Jude Winchester in the warm-up. So, you know, even on the night, it was, is everyone going to make it out of here? When you're seeing people dropping like flies, you're sitting on the bench, you know literally your number's about to be held up and you're about to come on. Were you nervous at all? It sounds strange to ask you that because you've played so many games, but given the circumstances.
No, to be fair, I was fine. I think when Stephen called me and I looked at the squad that we had and I went, no, that's fine. He's probably asked me to come and get involved within the changing room to talk to the boys and maybe try to get them through the game and give them some advice, especially younger boys, the likes of Maka and Jude and stuff that's now come into the club, just to be around them for that wee bit of guidance. But obviously during the warm-up, I was looking and was going, right, with three, well, Gary was playing right-back, obviously.
Yeah.
I ended up going to right-back, but I was going with three midfielders there, so I'll be fine. And then I seen Jude going off in the warm-up, and I was like, oh dear, maybe. So Macaulay Snellgrove then got the shit. It was like happy days. So I was going, that's all right. And then I seen obviously Robbie going down and Daniel going down. It was a case of, right, here we go.
Paul Lehman was with me on commentary, and obviously you and I spoke after the game and I said it to you, but Paul was saying, is Declan going to come on in centre back here? And I thought, there's not a chance he's going to let anybody do that to him. If they're bringing him out of retirement, he's at least going to play in his natural position. Did you have to make that clear, or was that just a given? Stephen was saying, like, we'll put you in centre midfield and other people will move, because Philip Lawrie obviously ended up at centre back, which is probably a bet buster for quite a few people. They're going, the league's top goal scorers playing where?
Yeah, no, 100%. No, there was nothing said, or it was a case of, I just, after a conversation with Stephen, it was, wherever you need me and whenever you need me, yeah, just let me know and I'll go in and do a job for you. So whether it was centre back or right back or centre midfield, it didn't really bother me. But I think the Linfield match, it was, as you said, it was a bizarre one. I looked around coming into the game and you had Gary Thompson playing right back, Philip Lawrie centre back, and I was playing midfield with Paul Heatley and Johnny McMurray. So I think everybody had to just roll the sleeves up and get on with it, whatever position they were in.
There was a bit of eyebrow raising going on the other day when one pundit suggested that Lionel Messi could extend his career by moving, you know, into a midfield role. And I was thinking, I know it sounds bizarre, but I've just seen Paul Heatley do it. And, you know, surely Lionel Messi then can't, because if someone had said to me, Paul Heatley, centre mid, and Paul, as you know, is one of my favourite players that I've watched. I think he's phenomenal. But I never, to be honest, thought he could do that role. It's not where he wants to be, naturally, but I mean, he played it, didn't he? He played it pretty well.
He did indeed. He was outstanding when he went in the middle. Now, it took a lot of talking and a lot of shouting from me to keep him at bay. So, but no, Paul done it really, really well. Even in there, like, he's played there his whole career. And that, I think that's testament to the players at the football club and their attitudes. If they're asked upon to do a job for the team, they'll go in and do it, and they'll do it to the best of their ability. There's no huffing and no personas within the changing room, and it was refreshing. Obviously, I've been out of it for 6 months, and walking back into it and seeing even new players come in. Obviously, we had a busy transfer window in the summer, And it's exactly the same as when I left. Same attitude, I mean, same motivation within all the boys. So it's refreshing to see.
Have you got the bug back, or had it never gone away?
No, I don't think. I think I've enjoyed my time with my family. Obviously, my partner, Danielle, and my two sons, and I've enjoyed even the weekends. I get up each morning and I go watch one of the youth teams early on in the morning, or watch my son play, and then I enjoy the Saturday. And I think a lot of people take that for granted, the sacrifices you probably make when you play football, when you don't get that time at the weekends, and you're probably starved of a Sunday each week to spend with the family, or maybe a 3-week window during the summer where you get to go away on a family holiday. That's albeit if you're not in Europe as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've enjoyed kind of that aspect of it, but obviously with my role as academy director, my drive is to get youth players into the football team, and that was something that was probably a wee flip for me, that I probably wasn't as comfortable as I would have been if I'm not in this role, because we have some exciting young players at the football club that obviously, in whether it's 6 months, a year, 2 years, will be pushing first team football. And for me, I've had my time there, and I want, my job now is to kind of push them on and give them that experience and making an impact in the first team. So at the minute, for me, it's more a case of helping out. The managers ask me, the clubs ask me to help out, and I'll help out as long as they need me. And I think, to be fair, it'll only go on until the majority of injured players back. Obviously, position wise is an issue. We're probably, I don't think we've any injuries to centre forwards. I think we've 6 and they're all fit. But when you look at the midfield or you look at the defence, we're struggling a wee bit. But I think it'll just be a case of filling the holes until those boys get back.
And whenever that time might come, maybe, is it going to be a quiet retirement? You know, you don't end up being like Westlife and doing multiple comeback tours.
No, that's it. I'll happily just sit back and let the boys come back in and do their thing.
In terms of the game at the weekend, what are 2 games to come back for? You play Linfield, and one fan said to me coming out of the ground, that was a 0-0 victory. That's how they felt, because it was really backs against the wall, and they were so proud of the players. And I've seen comments online saying otherwise. Linfield will have their own thoughts about, you know, how that match went. But you know, for you, that's the first game back. The next one, Glentoran.
Yeah, it's another massive game, and I think that's, Stephen was probably cautious in that approach because he knew there were so many big games coming up. And I looked at it when he had that conversation, and I had a look at the fixtures, and it was Linfield, Glentoran, Coleraine, Glenavon, Cliftonville. 5 huge games of football. And yeah, it was nice to get out, and it probably suited me on Saturday, just sitting in there and trying to organise a wee bit more, because I haven't probably been doing as much as I would have liked. But another massive game against Glentoran here on the roll this season. I mean, they're playing well, and in terms of squad depth and strength, they're probably up there at the top of the league.
It's another huge game. The Christmas run-in is always, well, really enjoyable for fans, results dependent, I suppose, pundits in general. But for the players, what's this time of year like? You probably thought you were going to get your first normal Christmas in a lifetime, and, well, not anymore.
Yep, no, not anymore. That took some explaining to the wife, to be fair. It's a busy time, but it's an exciting time, because you have that run where you play all the big teams, and it all leads up, obviously, to the Boxing Day fixture, New Year's fixtures. And I think coming out of this period, that's when, in past experience, when you look at it, if you're there or thereabouts when you come out of that Christmas period, you have a chance. And obviously the next 5 weeks will be dependent on how the season goes for all the top 6 teams. You look at the league table, there's very few points separating all of them, and in terms of standard, there's not a lot separating any of the teams. Not a lot to pick from, so it's a case of you're looking at these next 4 weeks and you're going, take them off one game at a time and see where we are come the new year, and try to probably accumulate as much points as we can. And then once we get through this kind of round of fixtures, then you go, right, now we'll go again and we'll give it a final push.
in terms of the academy director role, it, just to go back to that and just to maybe finish up this portion of the programme with you, Declan, I was interested just to hear the passion of which, you know, you were referring to the young players. I can feel the energy when you talk about that this is something that you've really enjoyed sinking your teeth into. Just how much have you enjoyed it so far?
No, it's been brilliant. Obviously, it was something new to me. It's not something that I've kind of bed into. During my time at the club, I went straight from playing straight into this, and to be fair, it's a hard job. It's an intense job. It's non-stop. So, I mean, I think at the minute we've probably 230-240 kids, maybe 60 coaches. But it's actually nice to go out and enjoy watching playing football, and it's something you never ever get to do. Usually your Saturdays come and it's all game preparation and you're focusing on yourself and your own performance and team's performance. But obviously spending that time and going around and taking sessions and talking to coaches and players and watching them throughout the whole season, you can start to see obviously players develop, and it's exciting to see some of the young stars that we have at Crusaders. And that's right down from 7-year-old right up to 18-year-old. And it's just trying to create that right pathway and put in the right structures to give them the best chance of pushing on.
Well, that's fantastic to hear, and good luck spinning plates. I imagine you're going to need someone. Maybe Santa could bring you an extra few hours in the day.
Yeah, but it's definitely need that, to be fair. I definitely need that, but as I said, at the minute, it's just you get the head down and you work hard, and I'll enjoy my free time again when it comes.
Well, good man. It's great to see you back playing for however long this adventure might last. I'm sure Crusaders fans were I know Crusaders fans were delighted to see you because they sang your name for ages very loud. We were in the North Stand doing our commentary and they were all around us in sort of disbelief. It was like the ultimate warrior coming charging down to the ring and they were all kids again. that's how I would liken it. But Declan, great to have you on The Score. And, enjoy your next few games and however many more you have left in the tank.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Let's get our final guest of this week's show on now. And delighted to be speaking to this man again. Assistant manager at Dungannon Swifts. And, he was the stand-in manager at the weekend and he got a win for his team. The players put in the performance. They were able to get the better of Glenavon and able to move themselves 6 points clear, at least for the time being, of Portadown, both having played 17 matches. Tony Gorman, great to be chatting to you again. How are you?
How are you, Michael? How are you?
I'm doing
good, thanks.
I'm doing very well. I imagine you are feeling pretty good after how the last few days have gone for Dungannon Swifts.
Yeah, we had a very good result and performance against Glenavon, Michael. In saying that, our performances up until probably about a month ago haven't been good enough, and that obviously showed in our results. But probably going back to our game against Glentoran at the Oval when we played really well that day, and we felt ourselves we were really unlucky not to come away with something. But since then, something sort of clicked and we started to get a few players that had been out injured, started to get them back, and our performances have slowly but surely improved. And we had a decent performance against Cliftonville as well, and followed that up with a good performance against Larne, and again all three games very unlucky not to take something from it. So on Saturday then against Glenavon, just everything just fell into place, and I suppose from minute one to minute 90 we were focused on the job in hand, and were competitive, which was good. And it was, the goal was a long time coming, and when we did have good chances and seemed to, to be fair, we faced excuse me, a good goalkeeper in the day, Rory Brown. He was really good for Glenavon, and so we were delighted to finally get the goal and secure the 3 points.
It must be really tricky trying to manage that, and be part of the management team when morale's down because you're on a run. There was 9 games there in the Premiership where you hadn't had a win and one of those was a draw and the rest, unfortunately for yourselves, were defeats. So how was it trying to keep everybody, you know, believing that this one's around the corner, you know, you are capable of doing it? Because it's easy to, you know, sink into a position where things just are hard to come back from.
Yeah. I suppose, like I felt all along that, you know, the squad that we had, we obviously, like, we feel we've got a better squad than what we had last year. And that's no disrespect to the lads last year. It's probably, maybe it's unfair. I think we definitely have a more experienced squad this year, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time last year with the younger lads, we genuinely felt that with the performances we had, you know, we did deserve better results. But, you know, lapses in concentration and individual errors cost us dearly last season. But this year, like, up until, you know, I don't want to sound as if I'm repeating myself, but up until the Glentoran game, our performances hadn't been that good, you know, and it was quite demoralising because, you know, Dean as a coach and as a manager, you know, and us as a staff, like, we seem to be working harder and you know, focusing so much more on our team and our shape and our performance and wondering what we can do to turn things around. And I suppose it coincided, like, our recent good form has probably coincided with, you know, the return to fitness of some of the players that have been missing since the start of the season. Now, the players, some of them have yet to play, but they've been involved in training and they've, you know, the put pressure on the players that are holding on to the shirts at the minute, like the likes of Dean Curry's coming back in training full time with the squad, and Darren Cole, Michael Rulley's back in training again. So there's three players that in any given day of the season, if everybody's fit, would be pushing to start in the team. So I think all that has, you know, contributed to the players remaining focused on the job and you know, pushing us on to get that 3 points last week.
And it just makes everything about being at a football club easier off the back of a result, doesn't it? Because we all love football, but I can only imagine when you're going in and results aren't going your way, and particularly when you're in a management position, you have the pressure there where you know what everyone's thinking, but you can't let that show too much. You have to try and keep the positive spin on it and keep it all going, and it can take its toll. Has it been a hard season for you?
It has. It's been very difficult because, you know, it was a season, you know, where we did enter into the season, Michael, with loads of optimism and confidence as well, because, you know, we felt we had a good pre-season behind us and you know, and the performances in pre-season were encouraging. You know, the new players seemed to gel together, and then our first league game of the season, we went to Seaview and got, you know, we got a real eye opener that day. We faced a Crusaders team that were, you know, were in top form. They'd probably been in the back of maybe four, if not five, competitive European games, and I mean that showed on the day. And to truth be told, like, we didn't really recover from that. You know, the lads, the confidence took a bit of a battering from that day, and you know, it was hard to get the players lifted, and you know, and I think it was just that seemed to hit them for six, and we took a wee while to recover from that, and then when we started picking up a few injuries, then that didn't help, and we failed to have a settled team. But I suppose, like, you look back, the key to our performances of late has probably been a more settled team, Michael, and you know, so it's all about, I think at the minute as well, we've got good competition for places because the lads are coming back to fitness, and you know, training's become very competitive and players are fighting for places, and you know, and they're knocking on the manager's door when they're not getting picked, which is very good, and we encourage that at all times. So the future, you know, after a difficult start, is starting to look bright again for us.
Dean was suspended on Saturday. So as I was alluding to earlier, you were taking the team. What was that like? And you know, because we were chatting before this, and you were saying, like, you know, he even made sure to stay way away from the dugout just so nobody was accusing him of trying to manage, because the way the wall is, everyone knows.
Exactly.
Stangmore, you could, in theory, pretty much be in the bench without being in the bench if you wanted to.
You could, So I suppose anybody that knows about managers being suspended, like, he wasn't allowed any contact with the team from 75 minutes before kickoff. So, like, we had all our preparation done, our team talks done before 1:45. So it was just a case then of myself and Terry Fitzpatrick and Dwayne Nelson getting the boys warmed up and just reinforcing some of the key points that we had going into the game, and just the jobs and the roles and the responsibilities that they had. And Dean was quite clear and adamant to the fact that he wanted to stay well away because he didn't want to be seen anywhere near the dressing rooms, because you know, it's just, you don't want to bring an added pressure to yourself or become a distraction if you're too close to it. So now, in saying that, like, I made sure he had his phone on him, and we were in communication with him maybe 4 or 5 times during the game to say, you know, a few things we thought ourselves. But like, he was just saying, well, whatever you think, go ahead. Like, and, but it worked out well, and you know, we're delighted. We're delighted for not just for ourselves, but Dean, you know, as a manager and as a coach, he's so hardworking, he's so enthusiastic, and he puts so much time into it. And you know, it was a great reward for him as well for all his efforts and the endeavour that he's shown, and you know, the faith that he's shown in the players as well, that we stuck to the principles that Dean has instilled in us. And you know, as I said, the performances have improved, and just, I suppose, getting the result last week was the culmination of all the recent good performances.
I think what also comes across here, Tony, and I'm not just being nice to you for the sake of it, is the sort of calm and influence that you can have. Dean, you know, is very, very passionate, and that's great, and you wouldn't want to take that out of a person, but I would imagine that you're kind of a nice balancing act for one another, where you can say, you know, calmly, I think this, and you can try and stop him taking it too personally too, because sometimes I think he can, his own worst enemy's too strong, but you know what I mean, he can put undue pressure on himself.
Yeah, well, he's got such, like, and you know, we've not myself and Dean haven't spoken about this, but like, other people that may be close to him will understand that he is so passionate, and he sees, you know, because he can see things happen maybe should happen, and he's constantly encouraging. And like, I think that's a good thing as well, because you look at, say, I mean, you look at two standout managers in the Premier League at the minute, they're probably Arteta and Guardiola, and they have that sort of you know, where they can see the pass, and they're encouraging players to play the pass, and you know, so that works well for us, especially when you've got the younger players there that need encouragement and need that bit of confidence to go and try things. And like, as Dean said, Dean constantly tells them, like, you know, if they make mistakes, like, it's on him, because it's him that's telling them, you know, that if they want to play from the back, and if they make a mistake, he's constantly telling them not to worry. And you know, so calming influence, maybe sometimes, yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, like, Dean is the manager, and he's you know, we do, like, I personally feel we do work really well together. And you know, I don't see the way he coaches from the side, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, because you know, he does have that real passion and energy and enthusiasm, which is great.
Well, you're thinking you can do all the running up and down the touchline, Dean. I'll sit here.
Yeah, it's a bit easier for me, because I can just sit with a notebook and making a few wee points and maybe showing him from time to time. And you know, but he is very good, because he's very appreciative of all his staff. And you know, he takes on board thoughts and opinions, which is really good. And you know, it's not. He never ever says, this is what we're doing, and that's it. You know, it's, everything's discussed, and you know, and we're never shy of voicing opinion and takes opinions on board. And you know, I think what we have at Dungannon is good and it works really well for us.
And what you had importantly against Glenavon was a goal from Rhys Campbell. You'll be hoping he can hit a little purple patch and deliver a few more. It's no secret that goals have been hard to come by.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind, but you know, you look at the front players we have, like Joe McCready and Michael O'Connor and Rhys, Ryan Mays, you know, and they're playing so well. Like I don't think I've seen Joe McCready play as well in his whole career. Like, he's in fantastic shape, and his touch, his link up play, and you know, all is missing from Joe and Michael and Rhys is goals more consistently. And Rhys was very unlucky in the few games previous to that, where he'd come so close, like he'd hit the post a few times and keepers making unbelievable saves, like McCary at Glentoran made a couple of fantastic saves from Rhys, and down at Larne as well, and even at the Glenavon game, I mean, Rory Brown has made probably three saves from Rhys that are top class saves, like. But like, he stuck at it and he didn't let his head drop and he got his goal. But obviously we'd like to see more goals from Rhys, and more goals from not just Rhys, from other players throughout the team, because the way we play, like, you know, we create chances, and it's not just strikers. We expect midfielders to get in the box, and set plays are vital, and so we'd like to see more goals all around, Michael.
I'm sure. The game up next this weekend, it's Co-Rain. You'll need no directions to go there, Tony, a ground you know very well, of course. What are your expectations going into that match?
Well, to be honest, and like, don't say this flippantly or lightly, like every game we go into, especially over the last maybe 6 weeks, we've had a real confidence going into it. Now, in saying that, like, we played Co-Rain down in Co-Rain in the League Cup not that long ago, and to be honest, they gave us a bit of a lesson. I said last week that we beat Glenavon last week, and probably our worst performance of the season was away at Moorview when they beat us 5-0. And I would say probably our second worst performance was at Co-Rain when they beat us in the League Cup 3-0. You know, they were, and it would be doing an injustice to Co-Rain to say we were terrible. They were just so good, Michael. You know, their movement, their pace, the creative players that they had were unsung that night. And to be honest, it was 3-0, and we were lucky to get away with 3-0. But so we've obviously got that in the back of our minds, and we want to hopefully, you know, get a bit of payback. And now, it's not going to be easy because of the quality that we have, but we just feel that we're in a good place at the minute, and if we can replicate last week's performance, you know, we can hopefully give Co-Rain a really good game.
Well, Tony, I'll have to get you on another time to talk about your playing days, because I'm sure you have plenty of stories, and there are people listening to this and thinking, I remember Tony Gorman, I remember his free kicks, I remember David Jeffrey insisting he was Anthony Gorman. and we haven't even got near that area, well, such is life. You've had such a career now, there's too many things to talk about in one radio program. But yeah. But before I let you go, I just want to ask you quickly about your son Dale. He's playing National League football at Barnet at the moment. You know, he was at Glentoran. A lot of Irish League fans, probably naturally, when a player leaves the league, they don't always necessarily follow them on and see how things are going. How is life for him back in England?
Yeah, he's getting on really well, Michael. You know, he left Glentoran, went to Yeovil, and had a good season there. And he was close to the manager at Yeovil, the manager left before the end of the season, and then he had an opportunity like to leave Yeovil in the summer. And he had four or five really good options, but he decided to go to Barnet. He felt it was too good an opportunity to turn down. And they're about joint fifth in the National League at the minute, and they had a really good start to the season, and the middle part so far was very poor, but they picked it up this last while, and they've been good, but his form's good, and he's captaining the team, and which is good for him. And you know, he's got that, he's at that age now, he's 26, where he's enjoying the responsibility of being the captain. And you know, he's got a good relationship with the manager, and you know, things are going well for him, and he's in a good place at the minute. So we're really pleased with how it's going for him.
Well, that's great to hear. No, I just thought, let's share that out, because you know, people wonder. I think sometimes you leave the league and then you go, whatever happened to him? He's still playing away, and he's doing rightly. So fair play to him. And well, we'll keep an eye out, because you know, you keep playing well. You know what these things are like. Does he come to you and say, Dad, so and so's been in touch, what should I do? Or do you just get told, this is what I'm doing?
He would say, like, he, since he's been over there, like, he went to Stevenage when he was 16, 17, along with Ben Kennedy. So the two of them were over, and sort of Ben broke into the first team a bit quicker than Dale. But Stevenage, they didn't really encourage agents. The manager, and like, I actually enjoyed that, because the manager was more old school than new school, and you know, he didn't agree with agents, and you know, he looked after him really well. And but then the time came where they had to have agents, and he would still ask for advice and what are you thinking. You tell him what you think, and like, a lot of the time, you know, I'd be maybe a wee bit, you know, old fashioned in the way that, you know, more a football traditionalist rather than you know, some of the things that goes on now. But you know, he makes his own decisions, and which is, it's a good sign for him that he's independent. And like, to be fair to him, apart from one or two decisions that he's made, you know, he can look himself in the mirror and think, yeah, I've made that call and it's worked out all right for me. And you know, I haven't had to go back and say, I've told you so too many times, but I have done. I've gone a few times and said to him, I told you so. But he's big enough and bold enough now to make his own decisions. And as I said, like, he's always been quite independent. And you know, if he makes a decision, he sticks by it, and he doesn't seem to regret too many things. But that's not to say me or his mother don't say, I told you so, from time to time. So.
That sounds like
he's still his mother's boy, I suppose.
I was going to say, it sounds like a perfectly normal family relationship to me.
Yeah.
Tony, really lovely catching up with you. Thanks so much for coming on to The Score this week.
Thank you very much, Michael. Pleasure being on. Thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
As ever, a big thank you to my guests this week, to Declan Cadell of Crusaders, to Tony Gorman of Dungannon Swifts, and Johnny Addis. Great to have all three men on the programme this week. Just a reminder of the games taking place in the Danske Bank Premiership. One Friday night match, which I'll be going along to, Glenavon versus Larne at Mournview Park. And on Saturday, Ballymena United play host to Cliftonville. Dungannon Swifts are on their travels to Coleraine. Crusaders welcome Glentoran to Seaview, and Linfield are at home against Carrick Rangers on that Windsor Park surface that everyone's been talking about. And there is one Sunday game, don't forget that. Newry City against Portadown. Could be a crucial game for the Ports. Is this a chance for them to pull some points back, or is it Newry City's opportunity to pull further away from them? We will most certainly be keeping an eye on that. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Before I go again, just a big thank you to everybody for the messages that we've been receiving in the last day or two since the announcement about our figures. Brilliant to see, and it goes without saying, it isn't possible without you lot. You're the ones listening, and I'm just here talking to you, so thank you for being here, and let's do it all again next week, shall we? Until then, enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.